Welcome to Season 5 of the Get Out of Teaching podcast, presented by Larksong Enterprises. This podcast is for teachers who are considering leaving education but feel like they have no options. I'm your host, Elizabeth Diakos. I'm a career transition coach who guides overwhelmed teachers through a five-step process out of education and into a life they love. I'd like to see a world where the work of teachers is valued and respected, and that teachers have a career pathway that enables them to continue to offer value to society beyond their work in the classroom. So in this season, we'll be speaking with wellbeing experts who can help you to stay well as you plan your exit. If you're almost ready to leave and you need to redo your resume, check out my Resume Revamp digital download. It's a comprehensive guide to making your resume show off your assets. For $49.95 Australian dollars, you'll get pre-filled eye-pleasing resume and cover letter templates in both US letter and A4 size, a lexicon of teacher terminology with a translation to corporate speak, and a bonus PDF on getting past applicant tracking software. Check out the Resume Revamp package on the product page of larksong.com.au and come along for the ride as we get out of teaching. Episode 14. Hi everyone, welcome to the show. On today's show, I'm really excited to be speaking with Melanie from the Wellness Workshop. Melanie is a mental health first aid officer with a lived experience of coming out the other side of mental illness. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Melanie.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Nice to chat to you.
Okay, so I've already given you a little bit of a heads up about what we're going to be talking about today, but maybe you could just fill us in what you do and wanting you to go down that pathway.
Yeah, absolutely. So I own a company called The Wellness Workshop, and we are workplace and school wellbeing experts. We really started as mental health service providers. So initially, we focused in the one-on-one space, and we had a team of practitioners that helped to treat and assist and support people living with mental health illnesses, in particular eating disorders. So that looked like exercise physiologists, dietitians, psychologists, clinical hypnotherapists, Chinese medicine practitioners, naturopaths. We were full service, and we also did workshops and meditation classes off the back of that. After COVID, we kind of pivoted our business model a little bit. We did shut down our physical clinic, and we really focused in the wellbeing space in schools and workplaces, because we're finding that a number of organisations now are really struggling in this particular area, but there is a lot more emphasis on wellbeing, particularly mental health in workplaces and in schools.
Yeah, okay. So whereabouts are you located to have such a big, to have all those different people under one roof? That sounds pretty amazing.
Yeah, so we're actually all across the country. So I myself am in Melbourne, but I travel around with our workshops. We have team members who are in Adelaide, team members who are in Queensland. We've got team members in rural Victoria and team members in Sydney. So we're all over the place, and that's why for us a hybrid model of working works really well, because depending on where our workshops are, there's usually one of us within that state who can go out and facilitate those workshops.
Nice. Okay. And so what was your inspiration for getting into this field?
Yeah, of course, such a great question. I had a really kind of big inspiration or big passion. So from a very young age, I was only 12 when I started developing symptoms of a mental illness, and specifically an eating disorder. So I was at different points in my life diagnosed with 5 separate mental illnesses: anxiety, depression, OCD, binge eating disorder, and bulimia. And unfortunately, like so many other people, I experienced the really negative side of our healthcare system. So initially when I was diagnosed was over 20 years ago, and there wasn't much mental health support out there, and there wasn't much understanding either, particularly I found on a GP level. So usually for most families or most individuals, the first person they'll contact is their GP when they've got a health issue. And I found there that awareness and education around mental health illness or mental illnesses was really poor. And so I spent the next decade pretty much floating between different practitioners, psychologists, wellness coaches, dietitians, GPs, just trying to find someone who could help me. When I finally started that process of recovery, I almost promised myself that I would, once recovered, enter this space to help people who had experienced similar situations and were pretty much just fed up trying to find someone who understood, fed up trying to find compassionate, really inclusive allied health practitioners. So one of our biggest points of difference is we are a health at every size provider. And I myself, but I know many of our clients have received, unfortunately, care that is different based upon their weights. And that's not what we wanted. For us, a mental illness has nothing to do with your body shape or your size or what you look like. And so we wanted to make sure that everyone coming through our doors was receiving that really compassionate, caring, inclusive model of care that made people feel heard, understood, but also really supported.
Wow. And that's so important. Like, I have a family member who's overweight, and they notice that when they need medical attention, that the doctor will ignore whatever the actual symptom is and just talk about their weight. And it's so unhelpful, because then, you know, there may be other factors going on there, but you still got to treat the presenting thing. Yeah, I totally get that. And it's very frustrating. Actually, I did my, when I was training to be a teacher, I had the opportunity to go to the Austin Hospital School as part of my teacher training. And so I actually worked with, just briefly, for only a few weeks I was there, maybe a month. But I was able to work with some of the people who were admitted to hospital with an anorexic, there was one anorexic girl, and she made some beautiful artwork. She was very precise in her artwork, in her art making. But it was really interesting just seeing that side of it. But that was a very medicalized environment. I imagine that what you're talking about is actually demedicalizing a lot of this, you know, these, I guess, the people who need help, actually taking them out of a medical sort of environment. Am I on the right track there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess our approach to care is definitely providing that medical support, supervision and treatment, but doing it in a really human way. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, for many people who have been in that position where they are hospitalized for a number of different reasons, that may be something like anorexia or might be bulimia, might be a mental illness. Unfortunately, they can be treated a bit like a number. And so much of the support you need, particularly when you're struggling with a psychological illness, is, you know, just from another human who can say, I hear you and I get it and it's hard, but I want to support you. And unfortunately, I think our medical system doesn't have the capacity for that, just in terms of resourcing. But I think too, sometimes as medical professionals, you're trained not to have too many feelings or attach yourself too much to your job. And so from the other end, that patient can kind of feel like it's all a bit dry, you know, all a bit streamlined and process driven, rather than going, okay, that's a human being on the other end experiencing these feelings and mm-hmm. suffering, and we need to be aware of that.
Yeah, and show some compassion and some humanity along the way. Yeah. Mm. So the work that you're doing, what would you say were some highlights of working in that field?
I think it's almost a highlight and a low light all at once. It's the best and the worst part about working in this space, and that is talking to people every single day who have experienced or had, unfortunately, very negative experiences of healthcare or psychological care or support. So I would say at least half of our calls every week are people ringing us up having had a very bad experience, and they're looking for more support or compassion-focused care because they just felt like they're not listened to, or they felt like they're treated differently, or they've you know, felt like they're treated just like a number or another booking in a calendar. And so having those conversations with all those different individuals across so many different backgrounds and ethnicities and genders and ages, it can be really hard, but it really inspires me to keep going. Because I think sometimes, and teachers might relate to this too, you can finish a 12, 13-hour day and you're exhausted. But sometimes it might be that one person that reminds you, you know, this is why you're doing what you're doing. And it can be hard and it can be long, but it can be really rewarding. So for me, that's the greatest component of it, but can also sometimes be the hardest.
Got it. So what advice would you give to a teacher, and you're working in this space, so I imagine this is something that's not foreign to you, someone who's planning their exit, so they want to leave, they've decided they're going to leave, but they need to stay well enough to function in the workplace while they're preparing, and they also don't want to leave and be completely so broken that they take their baggage into the next job? That's a big concern for a lot of teachers who are planning their exit. What advice would you give to someone in that situation?
Yeah, great question and great point, because you can feel a little bit broken when you're leaving a career that can be so, taxing on your personality. One of the things that I find is really effective, and this is not just for teachers, but it can be for anyone, is really having a look and exploring your personal values. So for many of us, we never really talk about it. We don't look into it. It's not something that, you know, we learn at school or we identify. But even just a quick Google search, going and finding a list, there are so many lists out there of hundreds of different values, and taking about half an hour to identify sort of the top 10 values that you feel apply to you personally. And then from there, consolidating a list of 5 core values. What I find that helps people to do is understand maybe why they chose a profession like teaching. So when we do this exercise, and it's something we do often with a lot of teachers across the country, a lot of teachers understand why they ended up choosing that profession, even if it was a really subconscious decision. So words that come out are things like, caretakers, helpful, giving back to the community, a collaboration, all of those different words come out. But then at the same time, sometimes doing that can also highlight why you no longer want to be in that career or in that particular role. So I think doing that helps you understand who you are as a person, and then helps you to really choose what your next pathway is going to be, or the next thing that you're going to do. Because ideally, we want to be making choices and decisions that are in line with our personal values, and not choices or decisions that conflict with our personal values, because that's usually when things can go a little bit wrong.
Absolutely. And I often recommend to people that they do the Values in Action survey, because that's a free online survey. So, and it gives you it. It highlights 24 values, so which is not the full range, but they're pretty core values in most societies around the world, and that's why they've chosen them. So I think for me, I've got like zest is up high, creativity, honesty, love of learning is really high for me, and curiosity, which totally fits, doesn't it, with being a teacher?
Yes. But you can, I think then, like in your case, Elizabeth, you've done it, so you can then understand and make that connection. Sometimes when we haven't got to that point of identifying those values, we can feel a little bit lost and disconnected from our maybe professional and potentially personal lives as well. So it's a great exercise to do, just to kind of get an understanding as to why you've landed where you've landed, and then, okay, how am I going to make a choice that better fits with my values now that I'm leaving this particular career?
Yeah, and that's so important, I think, to take the good stuff with you and leave the other stuff behind. Sorry, I've got a carpenter in my background that's making the noise, so I apologise to all the listeners who can hear that. Hi, Josh.
We can sing over the top of him.
Okay, he stopped for a second. So if someone wanted to work with you, how would they get in touch?
Yeah, great question. So the easiest way to get in touch with us is our website. So www.thewellnessworkshop.com.au. And from there, there are a couple of different options. So if you maybe want to talk to your school and convince your school to run a wellbeing program, our wellbeing programs are for teachers and support staff. And we have a number of workshops that fit within that area. The other thing you can also do is work with us on a one-on-one level. So we have a team of allied health practitioners. We have Carla, our psychologist, Bree, who's our occupational therapist and has a passion in mental health. We have dietitians, exercise physiologists. We have a meditation teacher, Paul. So all of us are there to support individuals in a one-on-one capacity. And it doesn't matter where you are across the country because our sessions are virtual. Otherwise, try get us into your school and come out speaking to your teachers and your support staff and your education staff and really helping to improve well-being in your school and also get a little bit back of that joy too. So work things like work-life balance, communication techniques, self-care and stress management strategies. These are all workshops that we do in 1 and 2 hour formats to really help teachers with this.
Fantastic. And so if someone wanted to work with you individually, do they need a GP referral or something?
No. So you can have a GP referral if you're looking to work with some of our allied health practitioners. You definitely don't have to though. So we do take on private sessions as well. And when I say private, I just mean that you don't have a Medicare rebated session or a referral from someone like a doctor. But absolutely anyone and everyone can see our practitioners. Generally, we take 18 plus individuals too. So if you do want to see us and you're younger than 18, then you will need the consent of an adult.
Right, got it. And so if you were like, we have an international audience listening to this podcast, if someone from outside of Australia wanted to work with you, is that a possibility?
Yeah, absolutely. At the moment, we do some sessions with a few individuals around, I should say the globe, really. It sounds a bit weird saying that, around the globe. Definitely our core demographic is individuals living in Australia, but we work with some companies in London at the moment. So as long as we're not getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to do your session and we can find a time that suits us both, then that's ideal.
That's great. So you've got to have your work-life balance as well. Otherwise it's hard for you to, help other people have theirs. So if someone wanted to work with you, what would be the best way to get in touch?
Definitely through our website. So if you go to www.thewellnessworkshop.com.au, you click the contact tab or you can click the book an appointment tab. Really straightforward form there. You fill in your details, you select the service that you're most interested in, and we'll be in contact with you within 2 business days.
Very good. Okay. And so have I missed anything? What other questions, Melanie, would you have liked me to ask you in this session?
This is really your stage. This is your arena. I don't feel I can make those decisions for you. I think maybe one thing that I feel is really important, particularly in the school space, so having worked with hundreds of teachers in the past, one thing that I'm finding, you know, maybe we weren't ever really good at it, or we're not so good at it anymore because of COVID, but communication skills, communication strategies to really help us, one, understand what other people are saying and where they're coming from. I think there's a lot of misunderstandings in workplaces and in schools, or I think we tend to make assumptions really quickly of what people are saying or what we think they're saying. And often that's a result of perceptual distortion. So the way that I might see the world, Elizabeth, and the way that your listeners might see the world might be completely different to the person next to me. So communication is really key in understanding what other people mean or their intention or what they're saying. And I really love to do that by asking questions. I just feel like we don't ask enough questions anymore. So, you know, when let's just say on any given day when we're in a school and another teacher gives us a task, you know, being specific about things, When exactly do you need that by? What time? Is it urgent? What's the outcome if I don't get it to you by 5 p.m. tomorrow? Is there anyone else who can support me on this project? Would you like that done in a PDF file or a Microsoft Word file? Or is this something I can send over email? Things like that, that can really reduce misunderstandings and increase productivity and efficiency in any workplace, in any school. Because I know for us going into many organizations, we find that poor communication or a lack of communication can really hinder the performance of an organization. So for us, that is one of the most important skills that people can learn.
That's such valuable insight. Wow. Thank you for that. I really can see the benefit of just going that extra mile, asking that extra question, getting that extra little bit of clarity. And then, yeah, there is so much stuff that goes on in schools. I see it all the time in the Get Out of Teaching Facebook group where people are ranting about someone's communication to them. And often if they just had a slightly different conversation, it could have been quite a different outcome. So I love that advice. Thank you very much for that. Now I'm going to throw you a curveball, Melanie, and I didn't warn you about this question, but what's your favorite song?
Oh, okay. My favorite song there. Oh, I'm a huge music fan. There's so many. Right now I'm going through about 70,000 in my head. It has to be a Michael Jackson song, I think. I think Michael Jackson's definitely up there, or I love Celine Dion. I love Tina Turner.
I'm speaking to all those. You said Michael Jackson, Celine Dion and Tina Turner. What is it about them? What is it, even if you can't tell me a song, there must be something about all of those artists who there's something that they bring that resonates for you.
Yes, and I know exactly what it is, and it's their ability to tell a story and evoke an emotion from you. So if I think of all of their songs, I can think of places, people, events I was at, because I think they're all so good at bringing out certain emotions in humans. And, I mean, like just as an example, Simply the Best, that song, will always remind me of my mum. I just remember my mum still works. She is the most amazing woman, works 6 days a week, 67 years old, has an absolute passion for what she does. And I can still remember as a kid seeing a mum in her corporate getup at 40 years old with the car radio on full blast singing Simply the Best. And that was almost just like her motto for life. And every time I hear that song, I go back to that moment.
Wow. And I can hear the little tremble in your voice as you tell that story. Thank you so much for sharing that. And actually that was the song when you said Tina Turner, that I went straight there too. So we must be similar era. All right. Yes. Melanie D'Souza, thank you so much for coming on the Get Out of Teaching podcast today. It was a really fascinating conversation. I'm very grateful.
Thanks, Elizabeth. It was so nice to chat to you.
You've been listening to the Get Out of Teaching podcast presented by Larksong Enterprises with your host, Elizabeth Diakos. Thanks for listening. If you need more support in your journey out of education, check out larksong.com.au and book a triage call. I'm a career transition coach for educators and I support teachers in their journey out of education and into a life they love. I've been where you are now and you don't need to do this alone.